It's 8:25. You're with Lori Dubose as we welcome Fairhope Mayor Sherry Sullivan into the studio. Good morning, Mayor.
Good morning, Lori.
Thank you for joining us, as is customary, generally the second and fourth Tuesday morning following the Fairhope City Council meeting, which, folks, if you can't go, you can watch it on YouTube even later, live or later.
That's
yeah,
right.
So let's start with a work session. There was quite a few items on there. One is a Fairhope Public Schools Commission update.
Right. Carrie McLemore was there from the Fairhope Schools Commission and really just wanted to give the council an update on the school tax and let folks know what was going on with that. She talked about that, you know, they've been able to allocate about $400,000 per school and what the principals have used that for. A lot of it is
$400,000 per school since
right.
this tax has been in effect, what, 2 years?
2 years.
Two years.
Yeah.
That was the 3% or
three mil
property tax
Correct.
That Fairhope residents voted to approve. Wow, that's a lot of money.
That is a lot of money. And it continues to increase, you know, as we continue to see property tax increases and that kind of stuff. So really excited about that. They've been able to do some things like hire some STEAM instructors, also some math teachers, some reading coaches. They were able to put a social worker in one of the schools, so with that money. So really exciting things happening. It's just great for Fairhope Schools to be able to have access to that money and be able to do some of the things that they need to supplement their budget they get from the county.
Very nice. Also, discussion of the Young Street Community Park Garden Project.
Right, there's a master plan for that for the Rotary Youth Club, that site there, and part of it is the Young Street Community Park Garden Project. We've recently, last year, we put in an outdoor basketball court, which kind of displaced the community gardens. So we're going to be rebuilding those. We did receive a grant from the Community Foundation of South Alabama to help with some of that cost. So really excited about doing that. It's going to be some raised beds, some pollinator gardens, some seating, some bench seating there. So there's a great timeline. It'll start this month and kind of go through February with the plantings, and will allow the kids to take part in planting their own gardens and learning a lot about plantings and how to grow your own food.
So that'll be part of the Rotary Youth After School Project.
Right.
Okay. Good. And also was on the work session agenda, budget questions before the budget was presumably approved. Tell
right.
us about
right.
just the budget in general. Jimmy Conyers did fill us in a bit, but we'd love to hear what you have
sure.
to say.
We did, Kim Creech did, and myself did an update, kind of a summary of the budget at the work session.
Okay.
Just to kind of, you know, if there were any questions that they had, obviously we've had lots of meetings about the budget. Just want to really commend the staff on how well they have done. We set an aggressive timeline early to make sure the budget was passed on time, which has not happened in recent years. So really excited to be able to pass the budget on time and really thank the staff and the leadership team and the council for helping stick to that timeline. But just some things that people are going to, you know, see in the budget this year. The budget highlights that basically I went over is that there were kind of four things that I focused on. And one was really infrastructure and growth and how that continues to be a concern and a primary focus in Fairhope, and how we were addressing that through, you know, utility investments of $23.6 million in the budget, resurfacing of roads. That does not include the $10 million restore project for the sewer upgrades. That should kick off here pretty quickly. I would say in the next 3 months or so, you'll start seeing bids going out for that project. So
okay.
real excited about that. You know, protecting our parks and our natural environment for all to enjoy. I mean, there's $2.9 million in park investments, and that includes building a track, a regulation track, a competition track at Founders that the high school and middle school will be able to use. It'll also be open to the general public
so
for walking.
There's a track there now, so you're replacing it and upgrading it. Is
there's
that right?
not a track
there's
there.
Not? Mm-mm. Okay, I was thinking there was.
So this will be a track that you can have, you know, high school competition at.
Mm-hmm.
Also, it's a partnership with the single tax and with the school board because we do not have a track here in Fairhope. So excited about that project. That includes four new baseball fields, which we had slated for last year, but they will start the first of this year. Some new lighting, LED lighting. As lighting technology has changed, we can't get the parts and pieces for the old lights. So we're having to upgrade, fields one or two at a time with LED lighting. So we're going to be putting LED lighting on the pickleball courts out at the tennis center. And also, and they are currently not lit, so that will be a big improvement there. And then also putting new LED lights on the Fairhope High School girls softball field or the girls softball field. And then, of course, the four new baseball fields, a new restroom facility at Vallana, and a new restroom facility at Founders also.
And so, the pier improvements, that's really all under the Working Waterfront Project, correct?
Right, it is. And that was my next note was, you know, again, protecting that area and improving the parks to $6.2 million with the Waterfront Project that will hopefully, we're actually slated in the next 30 days to see some design components from that project. So you'll start seeing some movement there as well.
Good.
Yep.
Okay.
So the other thing is customer service, you know, customer service and being able to respond to our citizens timely and make sure their needs are taken care of as a priority for me. Customer service has always been important. But a couple things that we're doing for that is the automated meter infrastructure, where we'll be retrofitting or replacing electric meters throughout our system to be able to allow people to, you know, monitor their energy usage and all that kind of stuff with this new metering infrastructure. So that's $2.2 million, and that is actually a partnership with the Alabama Municipal Electric Association.
Does that literally mean coming to each home and replacing the meter?
It does.
Wow.
And we'll start with electric, and then we'll move forward with, you know, gas and water and wastewater as time progresses.
Okay.
So $2.2 million there. And then also we're going to be installing Invoice Cloud. It's an online payment system. Right now, you know, the system we use called Munis is just not a great system for online payments. It's really confusing if you've ever tried to go online and pay your utility bill. So Invoice Cloud will make that easier for folks. The other thing is we currently do not take you know, payments over the phone, but you can call in, and you'll be able to call in and do some of that now. So hopefully this will improve customer service and help with that. We're also adding a couple new employees to the revenue counter and in customer service to help with some of the backlog that we see. You know, as you always talk about adding utility employees and those kind of people to keep up with the growth that we're seeing, but all those ancillary departments like customer service or recreation, when we add parks and stuff, we've never really done a good job of adding folks to keep up with those areas. So you know, adding a couple employees to help there. And then the other thing is just employee retention and how competitive it has gotten to hire, you know, entry-level positions in particular, those people who mow our grass and plant our flowers and, you know, the entry-level utility positions. So what we've been able to do is look across the board and be able to do a little bit of increase in that pay range for those folks, you know, 50 cents or so, to be able to make us competitive with some other folks here in the area that are offering bonuses, because we seem to be a training ground for people and they leave.
I see.
Which is really costly in the end. So that, and also opening an employee health clinic. We
right.
hope to have that open in January, which will be a benefit to our employees. And also, usually in December, we do a one-time pay increase for our employees. And for years, it's been $20 a month for however many months during the year you work. So it ends up being $240 if you're a full-time employee. What we've done is we've changed that a little bit. It's called longevity pay, and it's based on the number of years of service you have to the city. So you can make, you'll get $250, $500, or $1,000. So, and that's a tool for us to, again, give a little bit of, you know, a little bit more incentive for people to stay around for that longevity bonus.
In this budget that was just passed mm-hmm. last night then, the bonuses are replaced with this new longevity
Correct.
Pay.
Correct.
Okay.
We also, the budget also includes a 1% cost, you know, pay adjustment for everybody across the board. And then it also includes some merit increases. There's 2% for each department, for the 2% basically for each employee for the department heads based on performance to give some merit increases if
okay.
they choose to do so.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
And compared to this year's budget, are the 2021 budget mm-hmm. how much bigger, what's the difference between that and the new 21-22 budget?
Almost $30,000.
That's it. So
I mean $30 million.
Oh, okay.
$30 million.
Yeah.
It's gone from $85 million in 21 to $113 million in 22.
Whoa, okay.
And part of that is because of what we are going to be spending on water and wastewater infrastructure. That's, you know, $31 million in their department alone for upgrades. So there's a lot to be done, a lot of force main upgrades, a lot of wells and different things that have to be, you know, upgraded, pumps. So we are really doing a lot of investment in our water and wastewater infrastructure.
There was talk in the previous administration, and I suppose one day it would be inevitable for another entire water treatment plant on the other side of the city where all of the growth is happening.
Yeah, that's a possibility, and I would say we're probably a couple years down the road from, you know, looking at that. You know, right now our wastewater treatment plant is only at about 50% capacity, and to be honest, when you add residential customers, it's not a huge impact on your wastewater treatment plant because everything's gotten so energy efficient now. You know, flushing your toilets and those kind of things, it doesn't require as much water, and it's not a huge impact on your system. The larger commercial developments obviously are, but you know, right now we're at about 50%, and we are about to undergo a permit review. So we'll know more about the capacity of the wastewater treatment facility, I would say, with this year. So that's why I say in the next couple of years, we'll probably look at that and address it if we need to.
Okay. Well, what else would you like to let us know from last night's meeting? It looks like most of it, except for the lease of the K1 Center property, mm-hmm. I want to ask you about. A lot of it was just maintenance and day-to-day.
It is, right.
Buying a truck. Housekeeping.
Housekeeping.
But let's talk about number seven. Mm-hmm. Jimmy Conyers said that the leasing of some property not needed at the K1 Center included the Pelican Lab and some front buildings that Fief or Hatch has. I'm not sure.
Okay, so the lease that we have with Fief, if people are familiar with that campus, there's I think it's 4 or 6 classrooms that are right there on St. James.
Mm-hmm.
That includes those buildings. And if you're on Church Street and you kind of look where the old office used to be,
mm-hmm.
and kind of look down that sidewalk, you'll kind of see the Pelican's Nest. So it creates, there's a carve out, but it kind of, you create a visual down at the Pelican's Nest, and then you have these out parcels. So it's almost like an L shape, because this green space here we kept, but they're going to be, you know, enhancing that area with doing the STEAM Center. They're going to do an outdoor classroom, do some bioretention, some rain gardens and different things to educate the kids about, you know, stormwater and everything. So it's going to be a great addition to that campus.
And is it leased to the Baldwin County Public School System?
It is not. It's leased to Fief.
Okay, the Fairhope Educational Enrichment Foundation.
It is okay. Leased to Fief.
Okay, and then as far as in the Performing Arts Center or other things at the K1 Center, that's just not time for that yet.
I won't say it's not time. I think it's a priority for quite a few of the council members and myself to do something with that campus. Right now, we have an economic development grant in with Baldwin County EDA to possibly take the main building itself and do something to move Hatch. Hatch right now is it's a tech incubator type program or business development program that is on the campus of BBVA in town, and so we would move that down to the K1 Center campus, and then we would take the back parcel of the property and turn that into the Performing Arts Center.
And tell us what Hatch is again.
Hatch is it's a product of the Baldwin County Economic Development Alliance, and Fairhope is a partner with that. But it basically helps businesses. It's a kind of an entrepreneurial tech program where it takes businesses and helps them, you know, look at their business development plan and helps them, you know, be successful.
So it's a nonprofit that offers free assistance.
Correct.
To businesses.
Right, for business development.
Because otherwise we wouldn't want to do a public-private partnership.
You know, a great example of what they do is Elodia Arnold, who has uh-huh. Fairhope Living. You know, that magazine, she actually worked with Hatch to develop her business plan. They provide office space for her and have really helped her kind of launch that whole program.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of businesses like that they really help get off the ground. And it's good for Fairhope.
The Chambers used to have, what was it called? Was it called SCORE?
SCORE.
They
look at your business plan and
retired
stuff.
Business right. professionals gave you free advice.
And this one's probably a little bit more in-depth than that, because they will help you find, you know, financing, or they know investors, and, you know, they have a little bit more resources. They're tied in with the University of Alabama, so they have a few more resources than probably SCORE did.
Okay. Well, that's good to know.
Yes,
for anyone.
It's a great program.
Anyone wanting to open a smaller business or sustain
Rick Miller, who's there, is just a wealth of knowledge and is always available to help anybody who's looking to start up a business.
Okay. Anything else from last night that you want to mention before we get off topic on the comprehensive plan or anything else off of the agenda, I should say?
Let's see.
From the last night's city council meeting, we're speaking with
Fairhope
Mayor Sherry Sullivan.
Like you said, everything was mainly housekeeping.
Okay. You mentioned a public comment concerning the film festival you might want to clear up. Mentioned that off air.
I'd be happy to. So there was somebody last night that came to the meeting that spoke out about the film festival and talked, was concerned that the city does sponsor the film festival and that they were mandating mask for anybody who attends the
masks.
For anybody who attends the film festival events. After the meeting, I put a call into the representatives of the film festival and asked them about that, and they were not aware there was a law on the books, which is Act 493, that you cannot require a mask in the state of Alabama to attend an event, or proof of vaccination, I should say.
I thought the issue was vaccine,
proof
right?
Of vaccinations,
right?
Yes.
Okay.
Which is what they were asking that you required. What they were going to require. So we did put a call into them. They were not aware of that, so they were going to pull that back, and it was just a matter of making that phone call. So
okay, all right,
all cleared up.
Yeah, because I just announced the film festival this morning.
Yep.
I saw the Facebook share, but I hadn't seen anything about requiring a vaccine.
Yeah, and I think part of their concern is a lot of their volunteers are older.
Right.
So I think some of that, and people just, want to protect the people who are volunteering for their organizations and probably didn't even think about requiring vaccines as being against the law.
So that is no longer.
It is no longer.
Okay. There was recently an issue with our utility bills, Fairhope Public Utilities billing. Has that been straightened out?
We hope so, but not completely. I know that there's still somewhat of a delay. So what happened was our print vendor, we had used a third-party print vendor to print our bills. They sold, and so a new company came in, and I think they've been working out some kinks. So bills have been delayed anywhere from 5 to 10 days. We are going to put that service back out for bid, just to make sure that we're getting a good product and that we're getting the customer service that we expect. So you could even see some more changes to the billing system, but for the most part I think they've taken care of it. But yes, there for the past couple billing cycles we were delayed anywhere from 5 to 10 days.
Okay. The city of Mobile announced yesterday that their recycler, Emerald Coast Utilities Authority in Escambia County, Florida, is resuming recyclables again. Is that the Fairhope's recyclable provider as well?
It is.
And does that mean we'll get back on track soon?
We are going to get back on track. We have not really stopped picking up recycling. We have not been able to take it to Escambia County because they have been closed down.
Right.
So, unfortunately, we have not been able to recycle as much as we would have wanted to. But we are going to resume those operations. I do think on the next council meeting you'll see some discussion about that with the council members, because we have an agreement in place with them right now that lasts through October the 29th. And so the council will need to make a decision whether they want to move forward with signing a contract with ECUA or if they want to look for another, provider for recycling services.
Okay. This is WABF. It is 8:43, 71 degrees. We're talking with Fairhope Mayor Sherry Sullivan, and I know you've got to go soon, but let's just briefly mention the importance of folks coming to the Comprehensive Land Use Plan public meetings.
Absolutely. So, comprehensive based land use plan, or the community-based comprehensive land use plan, is basically the comp plan that everybody hears about when you hear about developments and commercial developments coming in. And it's something that it's a restore project, a restore grant to allow us to revisit the comprehensive plan. So we are having community meetings through February. We've had our initial kickoff meeting. We have a website, planfairhope.com, that people can go to. But also we have two meetings coming up on October the 21st at 6:30 at Quail Creek Clubhouse, and October the 22nd at 10 a.m. at the Fairhope Civic Center. We have, again, two meetings in November and two meetings in December. We are spreading these throughout town. We are having them at different times, so we reach anybody and everybody who wants to attend. It's very important that people attend these meetings and let their voice be heard, because this is going to shape Fairhope's future. And it's a citizen's plan. It's not our plan, because we may or may not be here in, 4 or 5 years. So the elected officials, this needs to be citizen-driven. So we're encouraging anybody and everybody who wants their voice to be heard to be at these meetings.
And what Jessica Walker described to us with the city, she said if everybody can go back and watch that September 22nd introductory meeting,
That's
if
right.
you will, and then you can attend I'm thinking one. You don't have to attend all of them.
No, right,
This just is an opportunity, like you said, to reach different people where they are, different neighborhoods and different times.
We want to make it convenient for people. We don't want to, you know, anticipate that they always want to come to us at the Civic Center or wherever. That's why we're going out throughout Fairhope. So it's really important to spread the word with your neighbors, your friends, your Sunday school classes, or whoever. And, you know, anybody who wants to, please come to these meetings. They are public and public meetings and open to anyone who wants to attend.
Okay. And you're thinking, I know one time when I was interviewing you about this, I said, well, the comprehensive plan doesn't really have any teeth. It's just a plan. But you said this could result in some changes, especially when we see these newspaper headlines of new 375-home subdivision planned on 181, and they've been annexed into the city of Fairhope. And so many people are saying, stop the growth. What's going on?
Right.
So the comprehensive plan
will help some of that, and we'll be revisiting some of our zoning and our codes that are part of the comprehensive plan. So it's really an important time for people's voice to be heard.
Okay, very good. Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you,
Fairhope Mayor Sherry Sullivan, joining us the second and fourth Tuesday of each month. If you missed part of that or you want to tell a friend, you can listen to it later by lunchtime. It'll be posted at WABF1480.com.